You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show, or maybe watching it, depending on how you consume the content. And I'm here with Doug Deason, the most famous of all Deasons, to talk about Texas' effort to expand or explode its state parks with $1 billion, that's with a B, like bonanza, dollars, this year in the legislative session. Doug Deason, my favorite Deason, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here, Jackie.
So Doug, I'm looking at your op-ed here in the Dallas Morning News that you co-authored with Luke Metzger. He's the executive director of Environment Texas, a nonprofit. You are described as a hemisphere-trotting Dallas businessman and conservative activist, working together to see to it that Texas will take this, what is it now, $32 billion
right.
surplus. Why do we have a $32 billion surplus? Why are we swimming in money?
Though there are a lot of reasons why, but the main reason is we have such huge income, have had such huge income, and project to continue to have so much income from the severance tax, which means, you know, when you separate a mineral from the ground, there's a tax paid. In Texas, it's not unique to Texas. What's unique about Texas is the extraordinary amount of minerals, mainly oil and gas, that we have in the ground here.
That's right. Even in a bad year, the university systems get about $200 million from oil and gas severance taxes.
Right.
In a bad year. Okay, back to you and Mr. Metzger. So you have been interviewed by the Dallas Morning News. You also wrote an op-ed to explain your position working together because you're unlikely allies in this.
Right.
I love that Dallas Morning News starts out by saying that your work together all started with a Twitter fight over whether wind turbines are harmful to birds. So tell us how you met Mr. Metzger.
Well, it actually was, the way I remember it was, that is true, what is in that article. What prompted it was, I think he had made some comments on some of your posts. And, you know, I always defend my favorite radio host. So I, you know, kindly, it was always civil.
You were civil.
Yeah, I was civil.
I
and I replied to him and reminded him that you know, millions and millions of birds are killed. Birds and bats are killed every year by wind turbines. And I actually sent a video of a bald eagle getting knocked out of the air by a wind turbine in the I-10 corridor in California, which, you know, he decided was photoshopped. But you and I both know it wasn't.
So now's a good time to point out you are active with Peregrine Fund, right? So
right. Yes, I'm a donor to Peregrine Fund. Have been for years. When I was young, probably 14, a buddy of mine shot a what we called sparrowhawks, American kestrel, when we were dove hunting. And I yelled at him not to shoot. It was a sparrowhawk, and he shot it. And we literally both stood over it and cried because we felt so bad because it was a male. It was beautiful. And I've just been fascinated with raptors ever since. And so I support the Peregrine Fund and have trapped peregrines with them and American kestrels and attended some of their board meetings in D.C. And it's a really, they're the ones who figured out, well, a lot of people did, but they figured out that DHT was, or DTH.
DDT.
What?
DDT.
Yeah, DDT. Right? Thank you. Yeah, sorry. DDT was what was thinning the eggs of peregrines and American bald eagles. And back in the 70s, I believe. So they've just done extraordinary work all over the world with raptors.
Okay. So back to Texas, we have this massive population that is just exploding every single day. People are flooding into Texas, both illegally and across the border. I mean, we have to count also 2 million people at least flooding across the southern border at the same time. It's a lot of demand on the Texas electric grid, on Texas resources, also, yes, on the lands. Apparently, people are being turned away, according to your op-ed, at state parks because they're at capacity. So what do we do about this, Doug?
Well, so you know, back real quick to your question on how we met. So we had never met, and this was probably 2 years ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And Luke reached out to me one day and said, hey, I know you're a conservationist. I've got something I think you would be interested in. So I sent him, can we talk? So I sent him my cell DM, and then he called me. It took about 5 minutes, and I was on board. So then I started recruiting, Tam Parker, who's the time state rep, Tam Parker, but I knew he was going to be Senator Tam Parker, who's a good friend of ours. And yes. It took about 5 minutes to convince him that this was really a critical issue, that we have, we rank 35th in the country in state parks, state parkland per capita. We have about half as much as Florida.
Amazing.
Yeah. And yeah. So, the beautiful, there's so many wonderful things about Texas. One of them, of course, is that 96% of land is held in private hands, and the federal government has almost nothing. You know, they have Big Bend, a few, very few national parks, very little land owned by the feds or the state government for that matter. So it's held in private hands. And, consequently, the state can't just willy-nilly go around creating state parks. Plus, it's not inexpensive to create one in the first place, even if you get the land free.
Right. So you want to expand parks with $1 billion. Now, sell that to Texans. It sounds like a lot of money. What do you get in exchange for $1 billion?
Well, what will happen is we've asked for $1 billion. The House, the Senate already passed the bill. It got carved down to $500 million. And this is just a drop in the bucket. We rank 35th. We have 30 million people in this state. By 2050, we'll have 55 million. We're projected to grow 25 million people. So there's a six-month waiting list, for example, to get a camping site in a state park. There are over 10 million people visit our state parks annually. So it's overwhelming. Texas has so many beautiful and diverse, geography around the state, and so many beautiful places that are held in private hands. And our goal is to get some of those areas purchased and turned into state parks and make them available for public access. Within reason, obviously you're not going to want to trample through a beautiful spring or something like that, but you can have areas around it to be able to look down onto it, which is how some of our parks are set up. That there's a in 17, I think it was 17, a bill was passed that finally took the sporting goods taxes and transferred it, the income from that, away from the general fund back to Texas Parks and Wildlife. And that's, probably 100 to 200 million every year. But that's enough. They're still behind on maintenance. So they've got about $600 or $700 million just in deferred maintenance in the 80 something parks. It's in this piece, 80 something parks that we have. So, it's critical to get more money in. This money can only be used to buy state park land and to maintain or improve and or maintain. And again, it's a drop in the bucket. We'll be back. There'll be more money allocated, plus the $100 to $200 million a year that comes in from sporting goods sales. Plus, private landowners will donate land, and there'll be federal matching funds. So it should create about the $1 billion. If we get the $1 billion, the House is still at $1 billion. So the House, it'll pass the House. It'll go to conference committee, and they'll agree. Maybe it ends up at $750. David Yakowitz, the head of the Texas Parks and Wildlife, he's 100% behind it, as are the prior directors of Texas Parks and Wildlife and the Board of Commissioners. So it's pretty popular.
And Texans, so I see a poll last year by Texas 2036 finds that 68% of Texans, including 61% of Republicans, support investing $1 billion specifically to build new state parks. So we call that on Capitol Hill a 60% plus issue.
Right.
There aren't many of those.
No. Look how many Democrats support it.
75%.
Right.
And 69% of independents.
Right.
So that's really rather impressive. And I think, too, looking back, I didn't realize how much development had been done, how much had been lost over the years. So I see here from what you wrote that between 97 and 2017, 20 years, more than 2.2 million acres of farms, ranches, and forests were lost to development, averaging 10 football fields an hour being developed.
Right.
Yeah, so that's rather breathtaking.
Right.
So if you look at Texas of the late 90s even, it's a different Texas. It's a more rural Texas.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it's important to point out what we historically regard and romanticize as Texas doesn't look like a big slab of concrete.
Right.
You know, it looks like a beautiful, untamed wilderness.
It'd still take a long time to develop all of Texas. And, you know, of course, parts of it are just too remote and too rugged to develop. But, you know, the whole point of this is we are going to grow. I'm not anti-growth environment. Texas is not anti-growth. I'm the conservative. He's the liberal. And we've teamed up on this. It's kind of fun to go door to door at the Capitol to, you know, with arranged. We have lobbyists obviously hired. So we go door to door, pre-arranged, meet with legislators. And, you know, and I've been doing this for years on criminal justice reform and also education reform this session. So it's nothing new to me or to him, but I think it's kind of unique to him to be not that I'm some big powerhouse, but I'm a Republican. So he's actually welcomed with open arms into many offices that he's never been really given much time in before. So it's kind of fun, kind of interesting. I think that Luke's enjoying it.
You're quite the conservationist. Most hunters and fishermen, which you certainly are,
right,
value the great outdoors. I think there's a huge misunderstanding across the board that somehow environmentalism belongs to one side of the ideological spectrum. In fact, it doesn't.
Right.
Can you make that argument?
Yeah. Well, actually, Luke would agree 100%, which is why he reached out to me. I think at the end of the day, we all have the same goals. I think we just have different ways of getting there. I think you and I would agree that solar and wind are a big waste of time. They're a waste of time and resources. You know, they employ children in the Congo and Sierra Leone and in the central western Africa. They're, you know, all the rare earth minerals are, you know, you have to do huge amounts of mining to create the batteries, build the batteries. You know, the blades, the giant blades on the wind turbines are not, you know, they can't be reprocessed or recycled. So they're just buried, cut into pieces and buried. And you and I have seen them coming up from Houston, and they're the longest vehicles I've ever seen. They just have one end of set of wheels, the other end a set of wheels being dragged by a trailer tractor and tractor trailer. And they're.
And what is the carbon footprint of that?
You know, it's just
it's
huge.
Not so
it's
green.
Huge. Right.
It's not so green.
Yeah, not so green. And if anybody ever watched the movie, which is Michael Moore, luckily he's not in it, so you don't have to look at him. He's actually behind the camera in this film. It's called Planet of the...
I think he's producing, I can't vouch for his role, but he certainly had one. You don't have to look at him. That's right.
Right. You don't have to look at him because he's behind the camera. I mean, that's one of the things they sell it on. I think more people watched it because of that.
Planet of the Humans.
Planet of the Humans. And it explains that they went into it to prove the viability. And what it did is it proved how unviable all of these different sources of energy, renewables are, including biomass plants.
Which, you know, used to be called deforestation.
Yeah.
Now it's called biomass.
But they're actually, you know, most of them have popped up in the South America. Why? Because they can burn the Amazon forest. And that's considered renewable, even though it takes, you know, 200 to 500 years to grow one of the giant trees. So it's just absurd. And so what they end with is that these are not viable alternatives. Now, of course, their solution is to limit population growth and even stop population growth and reduce the population on the planet so that there's not so much energy demand. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but I think that there are other alternatives coming, and we've certainly invested in them as our company and our family as investors. But you know, nuclear and clean natural burning natural gas, I mean, are you know, it's a simple solution right in front of us. And that's where Luke and I or someone on the left would disagree, but we all have the same goal. I'm not anti-renewable. I just think we need to find the right ones, you know?
Right. No, for sure. Okay. So we are now coming up on May, and the Texas legislative session ends at the end of May, presumably.
Right.
One of those rare legislatures that meets every couple of years. So is this going to get done? What's your confidence level?
Well, I'm very confident it'll get done. I mean, there's no guarantee. Obviously, the Senate and the House, or at least the leadership, the Lieutenant Governor and the Speaker are kind of at war right now, and they're kind of holding each other's, some of the bills hostage. You know, I'm going to go down next week and have a meeting with the Lieutenant Governor with a couple of other of his big supporters to kind of shake some bills loose. Because
now, Douglas.
Oh, we'll do it. I mean, it's just he's have to talk logic to him sometimes. And
he's wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, well,
I'm so am I.
I mean, you know that I am. We were some of his earliest supporters, and we're good friends. And I'm on his advisory committee. But he is, it's already out of the Senate. It's just it has to get out of the House, and it's on its way. And then it'll go to conference committee. So we'll end up somewhere with 500, 750 million or a billion that'll go into a fund, be spent over the next 4 or 5 years to lock up land, and then it'll take longer to actually create parks.
Okay. And so I see also a selling point is that this is going to protect endangered species and groundwater. So that's actually kind of almost a separate topic. But quickly, can you tell us, I mean, for conservationists, isn't this their bill? I mean, in other words, it's not just about recreation and playing with your kids in a park. There's actually more going on here.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there are other bills that came through that would have locked up the land in conservation easements, which is very controversial in Texas. Unfortunately, how do you pronounce her name?
Ms. Harris?
Kamala Harris.
The VP?
The VP made a statement, and the president has confirmed that their goal is for the federal government to own 30% of all land in the United States by 2030, which is absolutely absurd. There's no reason whatsoever for that. It's just flabbergasting that they would make a statement like that. But that put a lot of Texans on notice and on guard. And so there was a conservation easement bill going through as well, and that died a quick death. As soon as that happened, there was no way that was getting through, because they look at that as a way to, you know, for wealthy landowners to kind of surround their big ranch with conservation easement land, which lowers the value of the land inside. And somehow the people picture that eventually getting to the federal government. So that's not my issue. That's not what I was, all I want to do is do parkland and get people. Nature is so important to the human psyche, and for people to be able to go out and spend time. And you know, you and I, we don't have a ranch. So we want to go shoot our guns. We have to call somebody, you know, unless we can go shoot our pistols in the local, you know, we're members of a local gun club or shooting range. But if we want to go shoot, you know, some of our many long guns, then whether it's shotgun or rifles.
If we do it in the backyard, we're going to jail for wanton endangerment.
Right. So we can't do it anywhere near. So we have to go find someone. And I'm not saying that, you know, most state parks ain't be able to do this, but that's something we like to do outdoors. So, and we love to hunt and fish, and we travel and fly fish in a lot of different places. When it's warm, you come along. And I think that that it's just important to the human psyche. When we get out, we relax, we forget about our troubles, and that's, everybody needs that. That's not exclusive to the wealthy class. You know, it should be available to everybody. And that's the whole point of state parks.
You and I did not grow up wealthy, and both of us spent most of our time outside. Mm-hmm. Back in the day when that was common.
Right.
And I think there's a separate discussion all about how the younger generation would be far better off if they spent more time outside and less time inside on the screens.
Right. But we also didn't grow up in urban areas where, right, you know, it's if you're raising kids in an urban area, you need a place to be able to take them out. And yeah, we grew up in more rural areas in Arkansas and Ohio. So, you know, we could just go anytime, and you actually just, you know, walk down a creek and fish the creek, not even knowing whose land you're on. And it was not a big deal. You know, today it would be a much bigger deal in a lot of parts of the country, not as much in Texas as others, but, you know, Texans value land ownership, and that's important. But I think a lot of Texans also who own land appreciate the beauty and the value of their land and would love to share it as they get older, and instead of selling it to another individual, selling it to the state so that it can be turned into a park.
I'm talking with Doug Deason, my favorite Deason, and he is a Dallas businessman and conservative, has written up an op-ed, Texas Needs More Parkland, that was in the Dallas Morning News, and then also Dallas Morning News published lately, Dallas Conservative and Austin Liberal Unite in Push for Texas to Set Aside $1 billion for New Parks. You can check that out online. Doug, Godspeed in your efforts in Austin.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jackie.